save your money. Cancel your subscription to Teen Beat Magazine. Get a free subscription to the Andrew Walker Show podcast instead. Available in iTunes or with your podcatcher of choice. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All he wants is to be right. Don't give him what he wants. It's the Andrew Walker Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
O'clock. The Andrew Walker Show continues. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Lots to get to. Lots of reaction from Super Bowl 51. There's only a few days like this where, here's another thing too. I'm so tired today. I'm so exhausted. Barely slept last night. And I'm trying to figure out why. And you know what it is? The older I get, these sporting events with so many ups and downs and swing of emotion. Like, I was tired, again, with no rooting interest, incredibly exhausted after that marathon Cubs and Indians Game 7 of the World Series. What an amazing year for sports. Same thing, Golden State, Cleveland. Same type of deal. I'm tired today because your mind just goes through it, thinking of all the little things that happened or did or had to happen for the Patriots, the Falcons, to close the deal yesterday. Lots to get to. I will also tell you how you can qualify for an all-inclusive trip for two to Nuneaton, Florida. The grand prize is coming up with Bob McCown on Friday, February the 17th, so stay tuned for that. First, he was in Houston. He is our NFL insider. Joins us every Monday. Former Denver Bronco, former Houston Texan, longtime NFL safety. He is Nick Ferguson after a crazy Super Bowl Sunday. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I have to say I definitely agree with you and all the millions across this country and even those outside of our country would say that emotionally they are drained today after that roller coaster of a game. I mean, it was outstanding.
It was – I've never seen anything like it. Like, I mean – but I'm trying to tell myself I shouldn't be that surprised, because the one thing we know about Tom Brady and the Patriots, and I'm trying to use the right words to say this, they're not – like, they're mortal. They're human. They're beatable. They've proven they're beatable. The Seahawks had them dead to rights. The Falcons had them dead to rights. The Giants have done it twice. They can lose the big game. But there's not a big window there. If you give them an inch – they're going to take a mile, and they're going to do it every time. So I guess in that sense, when Atlanta makes a mistake, we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, Tom Brady basically said, I have these guys right where I want them.
Well, here's what you have to take a look at. Even with the fact that the Falcons were up, 28-3 going into halftime?
It was 21-0. It was 28-3, and then it was 28-9 with about 12 minutes to go. Yeah.
So now you got to think about this. Everything that went wrong for the Patriots, it wasn't what the Falcons were doing to them that caused the huge catastrophe in that first half. It was all the Patriots' mistake. Gostkowski missed the extra point. LeGarrette Blount fumbles. Tom, you know, missed a Julian Edelman sitting right over the quarterback, but he tried to squeeze it into Chris Hogan, and it's intercepted, and that's a pick six. Mm-hmm. So if you went in a halftime and you're saying, If you're Bill Belichick and anyone in that locker room, we're still in this game because we gave the momentum and the points to the Atlanta Falcons. It wasn't what Matt Ryan was doing, because coming into this game, the biggest story was how would the Patriots slow down that up-tempo, get out of transition to use a basketball metaphor type of offense, but it was all about what the Patriots were doing to kill themselves. And any other team, and I challenge anyone to think about this, whether it's any quarterback in today's modern era or even before now, what other quarterback and head coach do you think would have been under the gun like that, in a deficit like that, and when able to go in a halftime, come back, and rally in the second half? You got to take this in consideration. There was 8 minutes and 33 seconds to go in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and the score was 28-9. I mean, looking at those odds, even in Vegas, no one could have predicted what we saw in the outcome. And
yeah.
I'm still amped up now.
I know, and again, that it can't be the plan. Like, I'm still trying to wonder exactly why it happened. And this is what I guess impressed me with New England, because when you put yourself in that big of a hole, like, they're not going to win that game every time, right? You need a little bit of luck. So what do you do? All you can do, if you're Belichick, if you're Brady, if you're that defense, is say, give ourselves a chance to win. And generally, that's going to include a version of an onside kick. But what did they do? Number one, they didn't panic, right? Like, when they went 90 yards for a touchdown, it took 9 minutes. I said, like, what are they doing? They got to take some shots. They got to speed this up, because the Atlanta Falcons at that point, they'd gladly trade 6 points or 7 points for 9 minutes. And it's exactly what happened. But they didn't panic. They didn't take shots, right? They still nickel and dimed it. It was 7 yards down to Lewis. It was 7 yards down to James White. There's Julian Edelman underneath, a lot of underneath stuff. James White had 14 catches, for crying out loud. They didn't panic. And they knew, or at least the plan was, we have to put pressure on Atlanta and make them make a couple of mistakes. And wouldn't you know it, there's a fumble and there's a coach absolutely outthinking himself and throwing the ball on third down late. And it's all they needed.
Well, you know what? I'll start with that last play with the 8 minutes and 33 seconds, and it's third and one. If you go back and watch that play, and I know everyone is criticizing Kyle for not running the ball in that situation, but we're being critical right now because we didn't really pay attention to what the scheme was and what they were doing early on in the season. That was typical Atlanta Falcons. They didn't really deviate from what they were doing. Here's what happened on that play. Matt Ryan was looking to the trip side, which was to his left side. That's where Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones were located. And I said all season long, anytime you have two wide receivers who normally lined up opposite one another and they lined up on the same side of the field, something is up. But the problem wasn't with Matt Ryan. The problem was with the execution. Matt Ryan never looked backside because Devontae Freeman was a lone back offset to that side. And they had used Devontae Freeman so many times during the season and against Green Bay and Seattle, and they found success. But go back and watch the play. Devontae Freeman was the guy that was supposed to pick up the blitzing linebacker.
Yeah, Freeman missed the block, no doubt.
Up. Yep. And if Matt Ryan scans and comes back to that side, Devontae Freeman is wide open. He's still running to this day, but that's the difference between guys being on the same page and doing your job. So I'm not going to blame this on Matt Ryan. I'm not going to blame it on Kyle Shanahan. Devontae Freeman did not pick up the block when he was supposed to.
Okay, so I kind of agree with you on this sense, because at the time, yes, it's the conservative play, the safe play with 8 minutes to go is to run the ball, no doubt. But you didn't, like, it wasn't by the letter. You're right. That's what Atlanta does. They're a little more aggressive. They ran that same play to Devontae Freeman earlier on in the quarter, and he scampered for like 35 yards. So yeah, I won't kill them for that, because even if Matt Ryan gets sacked there, okay, it sucks, and it's some life for New England, but they punt the ball away and they're fine. But he ended up losing the ball there. That one is excusable because, hey, we're Atlanta football, and that's what we do. The one that's inexcusable is after Julio makes the catch with 4 minutes to go. At that point, you're in field goal range, you run the ball twice, you make them use their timeouts, you kick the field goal, it's a two-possession game, and then you win. That's it. That, a five-step drop back and a sack, followed by a fumble, or followed by a holding penalty to take you out of field goal range, that's inexcusable. The first one I can live with, like you said, it's a missed assignment. The second one is right up there with Pete Carroll throwing the football as the worst thing I've ever seen.
Once again, looking at it in hindsight being 2020.
No, that's not even in hindsight. That's as it's happening, Nick.
But look at it this way. Once again, we have to now look at what this Atlanta Falcons offense has been all season long. Coming into the game, once again, we're talking about how great this offense was, how great, you know, Matt Ryan was, MVP that he did win at the NFL Honors, and how explosive this team was. To me, it's like you don't change who you are and what you do in certain situations. And we can say, yeah, you run the ball. And I agree, yeah, you run the ball and you kill the clock. You put the pressure on, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But this is this is what they are.
Okay, but if they pull like some weird double reverse and score a touchdown, it's still a two-possession game. They run the ball twice, kick a field goal. It's a two-possession game. We're talking about the same situation.
I get that. But once again, you have Matt Ryan, and there's a belief that you have to have in your quarterback, that your quarterback is going to make the plays that you need to be made down the stretch. Tom Brady made those plays for the New England Patriots. And the Atlanta Falcons organization, Kyle Shanahan, felt that, though, you know, Matt Ryan can make those plays. I'm sure Matt Ryan, just like any player, basketball or whatever, you want the ball in your hand with the opportunity to make the game-winning shot. And I'm sure Matt Ryan felt, hey, when the call came in, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. We've done it all year long. It's worked in practice. We've had marginal success in the game against the Patriots tonight, you know, throwing the ball down the field, especially to Julio Jones. We're going to try to do that again, and we're really going to put the nail in the coffin. But we can say, well, run the ball in that particular situation. If you ask Kyle Shanahan, he would probably tell you today he wouldn't call the pass play. He would go with the run. But when something is working and you have a lot of confidence in it, you just go with it. And now you just live with the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, we'll agree to disagree a little bit. And the thing was, it's not like in my opinion, you run the ball no matter what. And it's not like New England had just stacked the box and stuffed the run. Devontae Freeman was having his way a little bit. But who knows? Maybe the Tevin Coleman injury played a factor too. Maybe they would have run it with Coleman if he didn't go down.
Yes, exactly. And going into this game, I knew two things. It wasn't the guys that we were talking about leading up to the Super Bowl, the big-name guys. It was going to be marquee injuries, turnover at the least opportunistic time, and the fact of some guy on either team stepping up and making a play that no one figured that would factor in. Those were my three things coming into the game, and they all came true. When Tevin Coleman left the game right before Matt Ryan got sacked, had he been in the game, yes, he probably would have got that ball. Maybe he would have picked up the blitzing linebacker. We don't know. It's all hypothetical at the particular point. But I would like to think that if he's in that game, now you have a bigger back now that can power through and get that extra yard and really grind out the clock for you. You don't have him in there. It just changes complexity of what you can call on your offense.
Nick Ferguson joins us, our NFL insider, a longtime NFL safety with the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on the Andrew Walker Show. If you are a defensive back on the Falcons and you were involved in that play with Julian Edelman, God, you are not sleeping a wink last night, are you? That ball's up for grabs, and I don't know, like, watching that replay, I don't know how that ball didn't hit the ground. I swear to God, it levitated like they put helium in it. I can't believe Edelman made that play.
Oh, wait! No, you're not tossing out another possible controversy.
Man, I'm telling you, there's something going on. It might be divine intervention. Like I'll say that, but that ball levitated. I swear to God, it was going to hit the turf and then it just didn't.
You know what? That was a great job by Julian Edelman, because I felt as though Tom, with those cross the middle and those short intermediate routes, that he was tempting fate. And we saw so many times where it was just like slightly on the verge of being intercepted. And that was a great job by Edelman, you know, sticking with the play, keeping his eyes on the ball. And I say, well, if you're a young receiver, go back and watch that play. Look how it unfolded. And the fact that his level of concentration trying to bring that ball in, because you got to think, there's three bodies around him, and the ball actually bounces off the shin of one of the Atlanta Falcons right when it goes to hit the ground. And like you said, divine intervention. Maybe that was the football god said, you know what, Tom Brady, we're going to give you one more. And that's what happened.
It was crazy. It was crazy to watch. I mean, so you played against him. I know you actually had a little bit of success against Tom Brady, believe it or not. But this makes five. Nobody's ever done it. He has four MVPs. He's done it over a ridiculous span of longevity. Greatest of all time. You know, very few people would debate it anymore. When I say Tom Brady, what do you think of the most?
You know what? I say not the greatest of all time. Just call him the greatest. There's no other quarterback out there that's ever done what he's done, especially, you know, watching what unfolded last night, bringing the Patriots back from that type of deficit. You saw the emotion on his face when they were down, and you saw the same equal amount of emotion as he celebrated, because it meant something to him. I mean, look at everything that he went through over the past 2 years, and deal with, you know, add the fact of what he was going through and that he never really talked about that much with his family situation with his mom. That game means a lot, and a lot of people don't really think about this. You know, it's not just the football part that takes a toll on an athlete. It is everything off the field as well. But to go out there and continually to play the way that Tom Brady has played over these past couple of years has been nothing but phenomenal. There's not a quarterback, and I would say this. Now maybe we need to start to have this debate and say, well, instead of looking at Tom Brady as the best to ever do it from a football perspective, let's rank him as far as amongst the sports genre mm-hmm. as a whole.
You're right.
Does he not rank up as number one as the best athlete to ever play on any level? And to me, Tom Brady is that guy.
It's certainly a conversation, and that we have to weigh, okay, what has been in Tom Brady's control, what's been out of his control. And again, Tom Brady's a very public figure, right? The tabloids love him, so you can't let that sway you. But I just think in my era here, we talk about Roger Federer, we talk about Tiger Woods. It was the most dominant, intimidating run I've ever seen from anybody. I put Tom Brady and the Patriots there. LeBron is there, and Michael Jordan won 6 championships in 8 years. And if he didn't go play baseball, everyone knows it would have been 8-8, right? Like, that's a pretty incredible run.
It is definitely an incredible run, but to me now, that conversation. I mean, granted, you named some great athletes that have done some great things. LeBron James, his career isn't over, so we're liable to change our minds. You look at what Kobe Bryant did in his career, and you mentioned the guy that everyone tries to imitate and try to ascend to the same height, and that's Michael Jordan. I think maybe it's time, once again, to now talk about, you know, does Tom Brady or has Tom Brady, you know, superseded Michael Jordan? And I know some people are saying that's blasphemy. That's sports blasphemy. But we have to now look at it as far as that level of adversity, and that's the thing that makes a great player, when we start putting, you know, athletes in that category, what type of adversity did they have to overcome? Once again, Tom Brady doing it with, you know, a lot of not household name type of guys on either offense or defensive side of the ball. And we could talk about Bill Belichick, but we know Tom needs Bill just like Bill needs Tom. It doesn't happen without both of those guys being there. But heck, I mean, last night, I mean, that did it for me. I mean, I'm putting Tom over Michael right now. If you want to tweet me at @NickFerguson_25 and tell me that you hate me, go right ahead. But I'm going to put Tom right over Michael right now.
Tom over Michael. There you go. From our own Nick Ferguson, our Monday NFL insider. Hey, amazing to be in Houston for that yesterday. It's amazing Super Bowl. We'll be talking about it for a long time. We thank you for making time today. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
There's Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety. Tom Brady, now 5 titles in the span of 14 years. When is their first? 03. So 5-14 with a couple of losses, a couple of random losses. I mean, there's 2 he probably, I can't say didn't deserve, but there were 2 that were unlikely, but both times he lost, it was very unlikely that he was going to lose those games to Eli and the Giants. Nobody has done what he's done, and it was incredible to watch yesterday. Again, though, it's it's part of the greatness of him because, you know, he goes out and he takes advantage of his opportunity. But you got to give him an inch. You got to open that door a crack. And it's exactly what Atlanta did. So your thoughts on the game and the age-old question, did the Patriots go out and win it because they're the Patriots, or did the Atlanta Falcons absolutely choke this one away? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. On your cell phone, we'll talk about this, your chance to get your Super Bowl thoughts on the Andrew Walker Show. But I will tease this. So we're doing this all week, and coming up later in the show, you have a chance to qualify for an all-inclusive trip for 2 to Dunedin, Florida. This is how you do that. Listen all day for the Play a Day with Driving Force, Vehicle Rentals and Leasing code word. Be the 9th caller when you hear that code word to qualify for an all-inclusive trip for 2 to Dunedin, Florida. Driving Force has been providing transportation solutions for Canadians since 1978. This was what the prize includes: return airfare from Toronto, 4 nights hotel accommodations, $500 spending money. The grand prize winner will be announced during primetime sports with the Bob McCown coming up Friday, February the 17th. Get all the details at sportsnet.ca/590. So keep listening for that. Your chance to qualify for an all-inclusive trip for two to Dunedin, Florida. So did the Patriots go out and take this one yesterday because that's what they do? Or did the Falcons just give us one of the biggest gag jobs of all time? I guess, as always, the answer is somewhere in the middle, but I can't help but think back to that Julio Jones catch and how over that game was yesterday. Greg in Toronto, you're on the Andrew Walker Show. Go ahead.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Listen, I'm not a Patriots lover or hater. I think that Tom Brady solidifies his place, but if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm just sick today because it was their game, and I don't care who was on the other sideline or who was under center for the Patriots. That should have been a Falcons win.
100%. I don't know how, after that amazing catch that Julio Jones made, you don't run the ball two times, kick a field goal, and then make them come down and score twice on you. Why do you throw the ball? He threw the ball, got sacked, holding penalty, game over right there. I knew it was over. I could feel it.
You know what, and basically Nick Ferguson, I think Nick is wrong, but basically Nick says why they did it, why they threw it, is just because they went with what got them to that point, where the Falcons were a little unconventional, right? When everybody said fix your D, right? Quit focusing on the offense and this greatest show on turf type of format. That never wins. The team with the defense always wins. The Falcons, I mean, they drafted Vic Beasley, but the Falcons kind of said, you know what? Screw that. We're going to play to our strengths, and we're going to play to our strengths even more, right? The Blue Jays hit the long ball too much. Let's go sign a bunch of sluggers, and he hit even more long balls. I mean, that would be the equivalent. And all those weapons got them so far. And you know what? The defense played a heck of a half yesterday. And then they went to the well just one extra time. Because the game was over. This was not about changing what you do, right? This was not going against yourself or your identity. This was just taking a knee, basically, at the end of the game. That's what it felt like. Kick the field goal, go up two possessions, and at that point, maybe they were so scared. And here's the thing, and this is what I talked about earlier, that Tiger intimidation. They were so scared of the Patriots scoring a touchdown and getting the onside kick and then winning with the field goal that they thought, we need another score. Like, what a terrible feeling. If being up 8 points with like 2 minutes to go, or at this point, it's 9 points with 2 minutes to go, if it's not enough. God, just run the ball. 2:23, I'll take up more on this. Dwayne in Toronto, go ahead. You're on the Andrew Walker Show. Dwayne, go ahead. We got you there. All right, no, Dwayne. Did the Patriots go out and win this one yesterday, or did the Atlanta Falcons absolutely choke it away? Mike and Bolton, you're on the Andrew Walker Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely they choked that away. I mean, if you're Coach Quinn, you're telling Matt Ryan, if we're going to throw the ball, you cannot get sacked. You cannot lose yardage on this play. We're in field goal range. If we don't gain any yards, if we don't eat any time off the clock,
yeah, go straight down.
Stay in field goal range at all costs. You cannot get out of field goal range, and that cost them the game.
It was so bizarre, and the weird thing was, because again, and I'll give credit to the Patriots, because only a few teams, few franchises, few players can smell blood in the water and then fully take advantage of it. Right? Like, what was the analogy I used early? The most successful people and the luckiest people just take advantage of the situations. Well, you could sit beside your soulmate on the subway. You still got to talk to her, right? You still got to get her number and work up the courage to go on a date, right? It just doesn't happen. And not everybody's capable of doing that. The New England Patriots are one of those teams that if they smell blood in the water, it is over, and there's nothing you can do about it. So the only way to beat them is to not give them that sliver of hope, and it's exactly what Atlanta did. I'll never understand. I almost think it's less shocking than Pete Carroll opting to throw the ball, but it's column A, it's column B. Chris in Stony Creek, you're on the Andrew Walker Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's up?
I think if you're going to come back from 19 points at the beginning of the fourth quarter, obviously the Falcons have to, like you said, leave the door open for Brady to kick it open. You know what I mean, right? But if I could just comment quickly on what the previous guest you had about Brady being the best athlete of all time.
Yeah.
I honestly think I put him up there. And when I was thinking about it, I'm thinking, but how? You know, like, when you look at him, you look at LeBron James, you look at Tiger Woods, you think of Michael Jordan, you think some of these guys, like even Usain Bolt, like you see the athleticism just oozing out of these guys. But when you look at Tom Brady, it's hard to unequivocally say that, but then when you see him play and you see how smart he is, you know what I mean? Like, he's not the fastest guy on the field. He doesn't have the best arm in the NFL, but he's definitely the best athlete out there. So I think when you're looking at that question, you have to minus out, you know, the Michael Jordan soaring through the air part and just take it for what it's worth and the stuff that he's accomplished throughout his whole career.
It's, you know what, it's the same with Wayne Gretzky a little bit, because the guy was not big, right? Like, I'm a small guy. Wayne Gretzky is not that much bigger than me. He's not an intimidating physical presence. Go try standing next to Mess or the Big E. Those guys are beasts. Wayne Gretzky is not a large man, right? He didn't fire the puck. He wasn't a great skater. I mean, he was a good skater in his prime, but it's not like he blazed by guys like McDavid is, right? It's the same thing. He had limited physical gifts, but was just better than everybody else and smarter and saw the ice and so much better. I guess that's the equivalent of Brady, and Brady's big thing now is longevity. Listen, like, we talk about greatest of all time as Brady versus Manning, Brady, Manning, Brady, Manning. You know, Peyton beat Tom Brady in the playoffs more than Brady beat Manning. There was a real debate 3 years ago, and wouldn't you know it, I mean, listen, last year, Peyton Manning goes out beautifully. He wins a Super Bowl. It's important for him to get that second ring because it elevates him to a level of quarterbacks that he belongs to be in. Peyton Manning should be a one-ring guy, but I digress. We all know that, you know, Peyton Manning's arm was ready to fall off. He's not the reason the Denver Broncos won that Super Bowl. And then you watch similar-aged Tom Brady win that game yesterday. They're not running the ball. They're not winning on defense. He threw for nearly 500 yards. Same age as what Peyton Manning was basically last year when he looked like Peyton Manning's corpse. Still one good for him, but the longevity of Tom Brady is incredible. And that's the thing. He's just left very little doubt. I would love to have a debate. I would love to, you know, to have, hey, who's on your Mount Rushmore? And some guy leave Brady off or say, hey, I'll take Peyton. I'll take Johnny Unitas. I'll take Joe Montana. There's no doubt. And I hate it because, you know, sports debate and having different opinions is the lifeblood of the industry. There's no doubt who the greatest of all time is. It's Tom Brady. I almost hate to say it. But you're right. The thing is, and this is what makes the Patriots great. I guess I can sum it up this way. They're not unbeatable. They're humans. They're mortal. But there's not very many teams out there who need a smaller sliver of hope than the Patriots do. Right? Like, how many other teams? Okay, so the Falcons get sacked, or the Falcons don't run the football and they're going to punt it away, and the odds are still astronomical because you need two touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions and then a stop before overtime. Then you got to win the coin toss in overtime. All of that. The odds were still on the side of the Falcons, and they took penalties, and they turned the ball over, all that kind of stuff. There's one team in sports that can take advantage of that so academically as the New England Patriots. And that is what makes them great. Not their level of being completely unbeatable. Their ability to capitalize on the slightest glimmer. That's what I see anyway. Mark and Markham, you're on the Andrew Walker Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you? I thought the play that was really indicative of Belichick and Brady was there was a third down play, and they gave the ball to the wide receiver, and he threw it downfield. And even the commentators said, you know, geez, why would you take the ball to Tom Brady's hand? It was fourth and five. It was early in the game. They were down significantly. I don't remember. And they went for it. They were on about their own 40, and they went for it. He made that pass, and that was just unbelievable. Like, it was almost like they'd given up. And then they made that, and they never looked back. It was, do you remember the play?
Yeah, I do. I do remember when they converted, and it felt like a big play at the time. But the funny thing was, after that, there was, I would say there was two junctures after that, thanks to the phone call, two junctures where the Falcons did something, or they scored again, or Gostkowski missed the extra point, or the big one, of course, is the Julio catch, and it felt done. It just felt over. And in that sense, we should just never be surprised, and you should never tweet absolutes, because there is no absolutes with the New England Patriots. That's what we've learned. It is 2:30, Leafs and Bruins. That was a big win, a wild win on Saturday night in Boston. I'll tell you what, at this point, speaking of, you know, you shouldn't say absolutes, it feels like we've buried the Bruins a little bit because of those games in hand. But it sets up a sneaky big game tonight on, or not on Long Island, but in Brooklyn, Leafs and Islanders. We have it on Sportsnet. We will check in with Nick Kiprios when we come back. And I also tell you why yesterday, if you're watching the feed of the Super Bowl, another great example of why 2017 is a terrible time to be alive. It's coming back. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now more of the Andrew Walker Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Super Bowl Monday, the Andrew Walker Show continues. One of those good days to be on the air and talk about all the happenings of last night. It's fun just to talk about in a non-eloquent, just remember that play? Remember this? Mike Shope down in Buffalo, some interesting tweets today. And I don't necessarily agree with him. Listen, I love debate. I would love to have a conversation of why so-and-so could possibly still rank ahead of Tom Brady as this greatest of all time conversation. But here's the thing. Every argument you ever, you know, he always wins. At the end of the day, whether it's stats, whether it's winning with defense, whatever, he's still in the winner's circle with the rings, always, it seems. And that's the frustrating thing with this debate. And I think a lot of people kind of reached that conclusion last night. But it was an unbelievable night, and it was an unbelievable night Saturday as well, as the Leafs go into Boston, win a wild one, 6-5. It almost feels like the Bruins are close to being buried, even though with these weird standings, they still occupy a playoff spot. We'll ask our next guest. He is Nick Kiprios, Hockey Central at noon, Hockey Central and Hockey Night in Canada. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm covering off the Super Bowl.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting older, and I just get so mentally drained watching events like this. Like the day after, with no rooting interest, watching Cubs and Indians, I was so tired the next day. Just because you get up, you get down, and last night it was the same. I'm exhausted today.
Yeah, and that's what makes pro sports or any sport in general really great about it. It is truly reality television in its purest form. It was something to watch for sure.
So what was your day like? I know you didn't host a party because I didn't get invited. So I know there's no party at the Kiprios household. Yeah. I knew that.
No, the tradition is a neighbor has held a Super Bowl party. And of course, you know, besides the great food, you gotta jump into the pool. Mm-hmm. So I won the second quarter pool for $100, which was great. And then I almost closed out the final score. And then the conversion killed me. Just like someone reaching right into your pocket and taking money out.
What, the missed extra point?
No, not the missed extra point. The conversion, the two-point conversion.
In
the game.
Yeah.
That one screwed me right up.
So at what moment did your mind shift? And I mean, because here's the thing. Any other team, I'm tweeting out this game is over, but there's that one little asterisk with the Patriots that until they are 6 feet under, you can't talk in absolutes.
Just the catch. That was reminiscent of the one when the Giants won their
Super Bowl. In 07, yeah.
Where you sit there and you go, okay, did I just really see that happening here? And you're sitting there and you're watching New England at the beginning of the game, and they can't complete one pass, and everything's bouncing off and off the chest and going around. You're like sitting there going,
they can't catch anything. Okay, I mean, if this is the way it's going to go, they're in big trouble. And then it was a complete 180 in the second half of the game, where you, when you sit there and you go, that you don't, how many regular season games do they play over the course of an NFL season, and you don't see a catch like that once, and then you see it on the biggest stage in the world, and you're sitting there going, man, they're in trouble. Man is in big trouble.
There's nothing like it, right? Because, you know, it's not like we see the greatest of goals and saves in the Stanley Cup final. We don't see the longest home runs in the World Series. But we see, like, this is a habit, man. We see the most unbelievable catches on the biggest stage of football. These guys rise to the occasion.
And you know what? The officials got it right even before they went to the replay to verify it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Really, really impressive as well.
And I'll tell you what, like, I don't know if it's, it was like watching that replay too, I swear to God, that ball levitated. It should have hit the ground. I don't know how it didn't. I'm no physics major.
Well, it kicked, the leg kicked it back up. It was I think it was the defender's leg, the one that almost initially picked it off right at the very beginning of the throw. While he was falling down, if you watch it again, I think it was off his shin that kept it up just enough to make the catch.
Oh.
Anyways,
it was incredible,
spectacular television.
And it saved kind of a lousy playoff run too. But the Super Bowl will do that. He is Nick Kyprios, and so boy, it was almost as many twists and turns in that game as there was the Boston Toronto Maple Leafs game on Saturday night. That was.
That was
fantastic. I didn't know what I was watching at one point, because, hey, and Doug McClain says this all the time, the Leafs are going to be there in the end in terms of competitive for a playoff spot, because through it all, they can score. You can't take that away from them. They're going to give up too much, but they can score goals.
Yeah, and, like, what's better than a 4-1 lead in Boston, right? That's just great TV in itself.
Yeah.
So, Doug's right that there is a balanced scoring machine right now, and it means that you're never really out of it. Even if you went to Dallas, you watch that game last week, and you're sitting there going, why would you take your eyes off of this game when you got like guys like Marner and Matthews and Nylander, who the last few years has been a bit of a forgotten guy. Certainly the crown jewel 3 years ago. And then all of a sudden, so much attention to Matthews and Marner. And then, sure enough, he's reminding everybody he was a pretty top player at the draft and showed why Saturday night.
The New York Islanders make a coaching change. Leafs get him tonight. It's at this 7 p.m. on Sportsnet. They make a coaching change. They've been pretty good ever since. They've lost a couple, but they pick up a point over the weekend. Is this just that classic, hey, you're going to fire the coach, you're going to get a little bump, or is this the team, maybe them and the Florida Panthers, who are getting healthier, that the Leafs should actually be worried about? In a weird way, with five games in hand on Boston, I'm not even really concerned about Boston in terms of the standings, but it's Florida and it's this Islanders team.
Yes.
Are they just on a good run, or are they legitimately a threat?
No, well, they were supposed to be a team that was contending, right? We go back to the playoffs last year, and the ability to bump Florida, and you're sitting there going, okay, this was one of those teams where we thought that would be there for sure this time, at this point of the regular season. So I don't know if we're shocked. I think we're more shocked at the fact that they buried themselves in such a big hole. But in saying that, there's still a team that you're not sure on a given night what kind of goaltending you're going to get, and that's one of the main reasons. Defensively, I think they're not getting enough out of their back end. And, of course, all the weight in the world continually falls on John Tavares' shoulders. But he's starting to heat up big time. And we know when he's going, he's as good as anybody on the planet. So they seem to be going well. Dougie Wade, I really like. I really like him a lot in terms of just his demeanor and his ability to probably relate to today's players. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, unfortunately for Capuano, it was just time. You know, they just kind of ran its course a little bit, and Doug certainly comes in there with a breath of fresh air, and right now they're rolling.
As I say, his first move would just be, all right, everybody, tongues out, no visor, tuck the jersey in, let the a lot of head fakes, let the belt flap in the breeze when you're bringing the puck up the ice. Like, that's solid coaching.
Yeah, he's a world-class kind of guy, too. I think anybody that looks up to Dougie Waite there on the bench, he'll command a lot of respect there. So we'll see where it goes here. They've got some issues on and off the ice.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting one tonight.
So to circle back to the Leafs for 1 second, so that game on Saturday was very much, and you're right, Nylander, I'm to blame too, but like this guy does, you know, get forgotten about because Matthews has been so good, and there's Marner leading rookies in scoring. And I've had, you know, William Nylander in Fantasyland traded a few times for defense,
yeah,
but
I said
I'd move him for Trouba, they need help on the blue line. But is that,
no.
I mean, that was one of his coming out moments. Yeah. He was terrific on Saturday.
You, to win cups, you need a Nylander, and enough with the talk that he's going to get traded for a defenseman. That's not happening. If it does, shame on the management team. You need a guy like that. Take a look at teams that have won it lately. I mean, go to Chicago. It's Taves and Kane, but you know, whether or not we're talking Sharp or Hossa, there has to be a third guy providing some of that that skill that can put in the net.
I mean, Kessel did it for Pittsburgh, right?
100%. You need a third guy up front to compete in the playoffs. That's Nylander. That's the biggest threat out there outside of Marner and Matthews. You can't trade him for a defenseman. That's not the way to go. You want to go get a defenseman right now, and you want to make something significant happen now, then you're going to have to dangle JVR, Bozak, you know, something of that nature to make that change. You don't have to do it now unless you get an offer you can't refuse, but that's the direction you got to move towards before you ever think about Nylander.
Interesting stuff. We'll let you go. We got the Islanders and the Leafs on Sportsnet tonight at 7 p.m. Thanks for this, Nick.
All right, Wax. Have a good one, bud.
All right, that is Nick Kiprios, who did not host a Super Bowl party, who instead went to his neighbors for the Super Bowl party, but did win the $100 second quarter pool. So there you go. Apparently, I'm hearing rumors that the producer of this show, J.D. Bunkus, who took today off, very, very curious, by the way, someone who loves sports. You know, Bunk, shutting the heck up is not his strongest suit, especially on a day where there's lots to talk about. Talks more than any other producer on this station. And yet he curiously took today off. Now, why is that? Was it copious amounts of alcohol at his party? But Sam, you were at his party yesterday. You said Bunk was not, you know, 8 sheets to the wind or anything like that.
Absolutely not. He was completely coherent when I left there last night.
Now, as part of the Walker Show Super Bowl prop bets that we unveiled on Friday, one of them, it was even money, will there be an incident at Bunkus's Super Bowl party? Now, this could be a fight between a couple. It could be an argument with the pizza delivery guy or an Uber driver. It could be someone getting mad or saying something inappropriate that stops the room. Was there an incident at the Bunkus party?
Incident free. We all had a blast.
Interesting.
Honestly, it was a great time. We all got along swimmingly. It was a really good evening.
So I'm hearing rumors that the reason Bunk took off is that he came into some money. Can you verify this?
Well, I don't know. He was talking about some pool he was in from some other party.
Problem gamblers always talk about the wins and never the losses.
Well, he was saying that he won a lot of money, upwards of a grand, we'll say.
$1,000, yes.
Mm-hmm. A stack, as the kids say.
But is this one of those, like, he won $1,200 and lost $800?
I have no idea. I don't really, he talks about gambling. I don't really care. I don't really push him much on the gambling
I think it's gambling related. I think he either took today off because he won a crap ton of money, or he lost more than he can afford to lose, and he's in trouble. Yeah. Like, bookies know where to find him, and it's here at Sportsnet. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe I am the bookie.
Maybe you are the bookie. Yeah. Coming for his corner. It's 2:51. After 3, of course, back in on the Super Bowl, The Wire is coming up. We'll talk about those Toronto Raptors and the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. The Raptors finally win. They need Kyle Lowry to do it against 9-win Brooklyn. I don't know what to think anymore. Corey Joseph's not even on the floor. What a mess. As the Clippers are in town tonight, we have it right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Lots more still to come. It is the Andrew Walker Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.